All right, welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast, and today we're taking a look at The Mandalorian Season 2, Episode 5, and this one is called The Jedi. Things got real this episode. All right, so we're going to go to the man. It's hard for him to sit here on this podcast hearing haters out there hollering his name when he spent more money and spilled Henny from bars from one coast to the other than you made all last year. You're going to be listening to the Rolex-wearing, diamond-ring-wearing, stash-stealing, trap dealing, limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun. And he's having a time of his life out here locking these streets down. Big Mike, how you doing, yo?
Woo!
What the hell?
Probably the best one yet. Let's give a little hand clap for that one. That was a good one.
But no, that's my literal reaction to this episode. You should already know what my score is. You should already know where I'm going. This is arguably the best damn episode of both damn seasons. I'm not going to get into specifics, but some questions got answered. I got a shitload more questions. And we got somebody earlier than we predicted because we thought we wouldn't see her till the season finale. And when I say that they did it justice, they did it justice. Hand clap for Dave fucking Filoni. Great, 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 great episode. I'm good.
Jay, how did you feel about episode 5?
Surprised at how they jumped into it. I thought it was going to probably be like she would show up in the middle of the episode or part like the end. She was in the first 2 minutes of the beginning of the episode. I thought it was really good. I can agree with Mike. This is perhaps one of the best episodes throughout the whole series. The way that they set it up, it could go in so many different directions. And plus, I heard they were talking about having a spinoff. It was a very good episode. Rosario Dawson, we got to talk about that. She did a pretty good job. I had no idea how she would look. Damn near spot on.
She looked good.
Yeah.
She looked good.
And she had the mannerisms down, but then you could tell that this is a more mature Ahsoka. It's not Clone Wars. It's not Rebels. This is happening afterwards. So she's more mature. She's more subdued. I mean, she does have her little things. Like Rosario actually caught the pitch of the way Ahsoka speaks. So I thought that was very good. The only complaint is that I wasn't really impressed with the fight at
yes.
the end.
I would say that for me, it reminded me of Kill Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And just the whole setting that, hey, it's only two warriors. They go on face to face and that's it. So it's not some grand battle. It is just that. So it's like, how much are you expecting? That's what they were aiming for. But go ahead.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I was about to say that. Like, that was what I think they tried to go for was the traditional samurai style. But it just did not seem smooth enough. And I don't think that was on Rosario's part. And it damn sure ain't on the magistrate because that's Dan Insato's daughter. And anyone that doesn't know, that is Bruce Lee's, one of his main students.
Right.
And that's his daughter.
Granddaughter.
Yeah. And so yeah, I don't really think it's on her either. I just think that the fight choreography was just a little bit slower, but it was slower for a reason because I don't think Ahsoka was definitely not trying to kill her. She was trying to get information because I think she was just toying around with her, to be honest with you. She was just playing around with her.
And
I mean, come on.
This one was directed by Dave Filoni.
Yeah, I chalked it up to him.
Did he do an episode last season?
It was certainly his first time directing a lightsaber duel, any kind of fight scene like that.
Because that shit made me feel good. I was like, shit, the fight scenes that I choreographed in the movie look better than this shit. So,
James is a train killer.
Oh, God, here we go. Only thing that I didn't like about that, I thought Rosario was good. The Easter eggs were pretty good. It was just a very good episode. I'm looking forward to where it's going now.
Dave Filoni directed the very first episode, and he directed the
of this season or last season?
Last season and the fifth episode.
Okay. First episode was good. The fifth episode, I gotta rewatch. I don't remember.
And my boy did the second episode.
But I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm excited to see where this is going to go. Unfortunately, I think there's only 3 episodes left of this season.
Correct.
Right? Leave us on a pretty major cliffhanger.
Well, let's go to Matt.
This episode was Filoni-licious. Successfully interweaves the animated universe with the live universe. Kind of reminds me a little bit of how Marvel's able to intertwine all the storylines throughout all their movies without dropping heavy hints. The one thing I liked about this episode compared to others is that it didn't seem like a side mission. This seemed like one of the main storylines that would propel the series forward, as opposed to previous episodes where, like, if you do this, what is it, people in here, such as Bruce Lee's, I guess, goddaughter, the guy from Aliens, things that you paid attention to the movie as far as, like, the Western backdrop, the Asian architecture of buildings, and you guys hit on it earlier as far as the standoff, like, Western movies, Kung Fu movies, samurai movies, especially towards the end. There's a lot of Easter eggs regarding Clone Wars, Rebels. They even got the lightsaber white, which I was very surprised that they used the white crystals, although that's what she had after she beat the Inquisitors on the previous animated series. I don't know if anybody recognized in the beginning of the episode Morai or the Convor. Did anybody see that?
What's it called?
Convor. It's Convor. The owl. It was in the animated series whenever Ahsoka would have like a challenging part that would always appear.
Ezra's wolf thing, right? It's like a spirit animal almost. Like,
yeah, Morai, I believe was her name. The one that sacrificed herself to bring her back to life.
Yeah, I didn't pay. Was that okay?
That was in the beginning of you on the top left-hand side. It was kind of like in a silhouette, but you could see it if you actually looked into it. But because of the way the cinematography of it and the mysteriousness of the Jedi and how she carried herself was a lot different than what we typically see in the movies. Her character compared to other Jedis was unconventional. Although I'm very surprised that they called it the Jedi because she's not a Jedi. She was in Clone Wars, and I don't know how much everyone else watched, but she got framed for bombing the Jedi Temple.
Yeah, I saw that. No, she left the Order after that whole mess.
Disney, if you're listening, this is the way. This is how you do future episodes. Although, honestly, with only 3 more episodes left, unless they maintain this kind of pace and this kind of propelling the series forward, I have a feeling that we might be disappointed a little bit later.
And let's go to Keith.
I agree spot on with James. Like, my only detraction from this was the fight scene at the end. I'm kind of chalking that up, budgetary reasons and effects and everything. So I'm still kind of got the feeling like much the same way that Rosario wasn't really familiar with the lightsaber concepts. But the one thing that came away from this that pinged in my head was that if J.J. Abrams and Kathleen Kennedy are watching that episode, they should understand the depths of their failure.
He's about to go on a tangent.
Fucking failure. That should have just like made him go, oh. You didn't have the Jedi was not the focus. It was still the Mandalorian, but you had a Jedi step in. You had a solid, well-rounded, well-told story. You had all the beats that make the Mandalorian what it is, but at the same time, you propelled that plot like light years forward. Introduced the villain, but at the same time, you threw in all the subtle little Easter eggs that fans who have been following these series have been looking for. You know, Ahsoka Tano wasn't just like, I knew she was coming on board and they were going to talk about Ahsoka Tano and there might be something about Thrawn, but to have it just dropped in there like that and just, you kind of understood everything. You're like, okay, starting to see the light at the end of this tunnel and it looks good. A solid, well-run episode. J.J. Abrams and Kathleen Kennedy, that clown who wrote Rise of Skywalker, that's how you do a story. That's how you do Star Wars. And you also watch this, understand the depths of your failure. Never touch Star Wars again. Never mention it again. Pretend it never happened. Because we're going to pretend you didn't happen.
Do you think they're actually really paying attention to this, though?
Oh, I'm pretty sure he saw that shit.
I would say that all the positive press this weekend.
The only thing worse than putting out bad work is if someone else comes behind you, either fixes it or pretends your bad work never existed and that you were irrelevant.
Correct. Yeah.
That's exactly what they're doing right now. They are basically erasing the entire sequel trilogy.
I'm glad they are.
They just take this and just understand the depths of their failure. And this is how you fix it. This is the way. This is how it's done. Give Jon Favreau the keys. Give Dave Filoni the keys. Never talk shit about George Lucas again. Let them do their thing. I'm fine with that.
All right.
So those are my thoughts.
So talk about J.J. Abrams before I talk about my feelings for this episode.
Talk
because
talk about them. Preach.
The main thing with J.J. Abrams, again, kinetic dialogue, kinetic action, something always has to be happening, somebody has to be cracking a joke. So I take that part where Ahsoka Tano, because no one actually mentioned Grogu's name. He's no longer Baby Yoda. He's Grogu. But there was a point where the Mandalorian was like, oh, you can communicate with him. If that was J.J. Abrams, it's like, oh my God, you can communicate? You hear him talk? What did he say? What did he say? Did he say something? That's what would happen with J.J. Abrams. This very intimate moment has to be turned into a comedic situation because he doesn't know restraint. He doesn't understand that the subject matter dictates that this should not be part comedy, part jerking off session.
Mm-hmm.
Characters should have reverence. Baby Yoda, aside from being this worldwide phenomenon of merchandising, is a very good character, and he hasn't said anything.
Yeah.
All he does is like, yeah, he might want to eat some eggs or something and steal something. Like, that's it. Occasionally uses force powers. But the moment where I saw that this is definitely different than what J.J. Abrams, and because Rian Johnson had to fit his story inside of a J.J. Abrams version of Star Wars, this take on it, as Keith said, someone coming behind you and totally just saying, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, redo this paper. No, don't redo the paper. I'll do it for you. And you get 100 on it. As opposed to like whatever Rise of Skywalker was technically considered to be a failure for Disney.
Mm-hmm.
But a TV show, a 40 some odd minute TV show can fix Star Wars.
At a fraction of the cost.
Yes. They're shooting on projected screens. Mm-hmm. Like, aside from maybe that second episode, the show has been consistent. It has been a very good breath of fresh air for Star Wars, for the fans. I mean, again, you don't really hear the level of disdain that people had for, particularly Rise of Skywalker, Last Jedi. Again, Last Jedi gets a pass for me. But The Force Awakens, that started off a whole trend of, if you don't like it, you're this. Because... Mm-hmm. We're pushing all these social agendas. Mm-hmm. Like, this one had none of that. The way that you do this properly is to take what you have. Again, Star Wars was supposed to be broken. They didn't leave this grand plan about what was supposed to happen, but somehow somebody figured it out. How does that occur if you just said at some point last year there was no template, there was no sense of what somebody should do, so we just decided to do the Disney thing, pushing social agendas, that's the whole entire iteration of Star Wars. Like, regardless if it's Solo, regardless if it's Rogue One, regardless if it's all that, have somebody that cares about the property, as opposed to J.J. Abrams, which, again, I said that if you look at Star Trek and look at Star Wars, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's the same jokes. Well, let's do this misdirection thing. This is straightforward. This is, I need to get from point A to point B. This person has information. Let me go see that person. And not like this wild situation where you're looking for nothing. That's a J.J. Abrams movie. Getting into my feelings about this, great episode. Great episode from start to finish. It starts off with action, ends with action. You get explanations. And hopefully, next episode will take what this started and continue on to season 3, season 4, like whatever it needs to happen. Baby Grogu now, no longer Baby Yoda, is cultural icon.
I agree 100% with what you said there, Barry.
So, Mike, how many seals of gangsterism does this receive?
You already know. I'm 10 all day on this. I've literally watched the episode 4.5 times already. And that's more than any episode I've watched in the past, and that's within like a couple days, and I'll probably watch it again after that. Like I said, great episode, man. It was a great episode. Like I said, answer questions, raise a whole bunch of other questions, got me beyond hype for the next 3. I'm just like, do not slow this pace down, do not let me down at all with any of these next 3 episodes. Next three, we still need to figure out what's going on with Boba Fett, because I fail to believe that we just getting that little shot at the end of episode one, and that's it. What's going to happen with Bo-Katan? Is she coming back? And everything they set up with the whole he believes all the way to Mandalorians versus what they... It's just so much we can get into now. And I feel like after they gave us Ahsoka already, the season finale is probably... I'm guessing it's going to be something major.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally, at the end, mouth drop. Oh my God. Why is the season three already done? I'm already anticipating for that. So if it ain't done, I'm going to be blown. But whatever. For now, like I said, hands down, great episode. I think Beep got it right, and you all referenced it. It was basically like an old samurai movie. Ahsoka's bad, taking out people, cutting people through trees. She even had this one look. And Jay, you'll probably remember. Do you remember when Ahsoka would fight and she kind of do that side look at somebody, and she did it on the bridge when she cut one of the people up?
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah, she did that shit.
Made a series. They even got the hilts right. One was curved, one was straight.
Right.
Lightsaber color right. They even had her do her inverted strike during the last fight scene, which is like her move, because she was always known to flip the lightsaber around. Man, like I said, they just got it right. This is such a great episode. Even my wife started watching and was like, what? Who is this? Furnace. Enough said. We don't even need to talk no further.
Yep.
Oh, and before I go, say that to the end. Y'all go ahead.
All right, Jay.
I give it a 9.5. The only reason why I did not give it a 10 was because just that end fight scene, man. For some reason, it rode me the wrong way. And I mean, I get what they were trying to do. I understand that she was not trying to kill her. I just expected to be more smooth. Just wasn't really smooth to me. I get the whole samurai element, but even with the samurai element, it still should be smooth. It just wasn't smooth. You know what? It could be the way they edited it. I don't know. I may have to watch that again, because I watched that fight scene at least 6 times just to be like, what is it about this fight scene I'm not liking? It was just not smooth. It didn't seem fluid. It should be like a dance. It should be very smooth, very choreographed, and it has its beats. Every fight sequence has its beats. Mike could confirm this too. When we did our fight scenes, we had beats like 1, 2, 3, 4, box. You know what I'm saying? We had it set up. We knew what we were doing. When I say they didn't know what they were doing, and it could, like I said, it could be all due to editing. It was not edit properly, because with fight scenes, you had to edit it properly. We could do the movements, but if it's not edit right, it's not going to show up properly on screen. Maybe that's it. Keith, you mentioned a good point that Filoni, probably the first lightsaber scene that he has done, or like action scene that he's done with two duelists.
Right.
Like, so that could be it. But that's the only thing that I was not impressed with, and I give it a 9.5.
Matt?
I give it a 10. Hopefully this is the start of a live universe in which they can integrate all the series, whether it's the video games, whether it's the animated TV show, whether even it's a callback to some of the legacy films that originally came out. I mean, this is the start of something big, although I will caution everybody that if the next couple up correctly, if they slow down the pace, I think we'll all be disappointed, especially considering that it went from the first couple of episodes, which were very slow, to all of a sudden, boom, here we go, 30 seconds in, lightsabers, killing people, Easter eggs that are more important than anything that we've ever seen in the last 5 years. Straight up 10 out of 10. Filoni, great job. Hopefully you stick around. Looking forward to the rest and even some of the spinoffs, because if anyone's listening to anything that happened this weekend as far as the positive vibes on this, hopefully they pick off that energy and actually dive a little bit more into the Star Wars mythology. 10 out of 10.
As long as Baby Yoda continues to sell hotcakes.
Grogu.
It's Grogu.
The child. All right. But Keith,
I'm going to give this like a 9.5. I agree with James. That end flight scene was the only slow part of that. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't as good as it could be. And again, I chalk it up to just them kind of feeling out how much they can get with the budget they had and everything. Even that was pretty good. Even that was good, and it fit with the series and episode. The Mandalorian himself was not outshone by Ahsoka's presence. Front and center the whole thing. This is very much still a series about a Mandalorian and his quest for his foundlings. Everything that came about in this is probably one of the best, if not the best, episode in the series. Gave us a ton of stuff to work with. It settled a lot of things. And what's more, it laid the foundations for the reversal of Star Wars' future under Disney's ownership. And it's rightfully so that it would be done so by arguably one of George Lucas's proteges, Dave Filoni, because Dave and George worked on the Clone Wars together, side by side on the Clone Wars. I like it. I like the way it's going. I'm pleased with it. I want to see more of it. 9.5 out of 10.
I'm going to give this a 9.5 as well. Nothing else needs to be said. J.J. Abrams, stay far, far away from Star Wars or any other established property. Even your unestablished properties aren't doing too well. So, Mike, you about to say something?
I'm just going to say before we sign off, rest in peace to David Prowse, who was the physical actor of Darth Vader in the original trilogy. Passed it. I want to make sure we shouted that out.
Hey, I had a question for Beef Gang. Did anybody score a 10 out of any of the previous episodes?
The third one. With Bo-Katan.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, and the first season, too. Like, the was it the third episode?
Third episode.
Yeah.
Of the first season?
Yeah. Unanimous. And again, if this was this time last year, everyone was just like, I hate Star Wars. Star Wars is going to be terrible. That last movie is going to be trash. Guess what? Yeah. So that's the Beast Game Podcast. Definitely change from last year's version of Star Wars to this year's version of Star Wars. And hopefully it will continue in the next three episodes. Ric Flair, woo. Signing out, Mike.
Woo!
Beast Game Podcast.